Today on Real Life Radio.
Here's the amazing thing about God's salvation, is that God's salvation changes our nature. It is the greatest miracle on earth. It is the greatest miracle. I want to see a miracle, man. Hey, stick around. When people come to Christ and their lives are transformed, it's the greatest miracle of all. It's the greatest miracle of all.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Have you found yourself in a situation where you're being taken advantage of? We've all felt that to some degree when someone's presented themselves to be someone that they're not. Deception really can be found in every corner of the world. Peter was watching this happen in his day, where just as there are great opportunities to do good, there are the same opportunities for evil. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are those out there who make a living out of practicing deception. They will pull the needy and vulnerable in close to them by promising liberty and prosperity, but instead they're making them slaves to the desires of this world. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible said all have sinned. Okay, I get that. But when you're not awake to spiritual truth, you see everyone else's sins horrifically. Oh my goodness, I can't believe she said that. Oh, what a terrible woman. Right? It's like this. Oh my. When you get closer to Jesus, you're not listening to anybody else because you're disgusted with your own mouth or your own mind. Think of it. You want to get close to Jesus? Here's the truth. Read the Gospels. All the disciples thought they were amazing until they got close to Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Remember that? Yes. Remember when Peter said, Lord, wash my feet, not only my feet, but wash my head and wash. Jesus said, calm down, Peter. I'm just washing your feet right now. If my word's in you and you follow me, that's all you need. You're good. But when you get close to him, you see the magnitude of your nothingness, right? This is the key, by the way. People, I want to be more humble, Pastor. Interesting request. How do you write a book on humility? I've always wondered that. Buy my book today. It's on humility. It's the best book you'll read this year. I'm so humble. There is a book on humility. It's called the Bible, and you're not going to write a book on humility that anyone's going to want to read. It's a divine act of God. It's a work of God. Draw close to Jesus. Watch what he does. In that is liberty. It's amazing. So the irony, listen to this. It says that when they promise you this, they become actually slaves of corruption. The word here for them to be slaves of, watch this. What is implied is that these who deceive people do so by, listen, pulling you into them. The word means to pull you into them. So the false teacher is the one who grabs you and pulls you into them. And this is what one great scholar wrote, that the picture is of a man who's in a sinkhole. I guess a sinkhole is like quicksand, right? Think of that. And instead of him grabbing the rope that you throw to him, He reaches out and grabs you. You see that? The false ministry, the false prophet, the false teacher, the cult grabs you as you get too close and pulls you into the pit where he's at. And that pit is slavery. A form of bondage that Peter is warning us about that leads to addictions of the mind or addictions of the body. Amazing. A lot of people talking today about the history of the world regarding slavery. And I understand that, but nobody's talking about the slavery that sin does to everyone on the planet. Listen, one can be fought in a war and achieved. The other one has to be killed by the power of Jesus and his cross. Hang on to your seats. When it comes to the slavery that he's talking about, this is a cage that we open. No one makes us do it. It's a cage that we open, we reach in, and we grab it, and we take it out of the cage. We walk around, and we might even hold it. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I saw this for the first time the other day. I freaked out. Do you know how, if you're going to buy a snake in the mail, oh yeah. Do you know how they ship the snake? They ship the snake in the tube, you know, like a paper, roll of paper, and then the paper's gone, and there's that tube. They put the snake in the tube, and then they crimp the ends. Snake can't get out. But when you get it in the mail, it looks like somebody sent you a gigantic, you know, piece of candy. It's like, oh, that's neat. What is that? And the guy unwraps it, and it pops open. The snake comes right out of there. Boop. And it made me just like, man, I don't know. That freaks me out. That's kind of like sin comes along. Because it comes along. It looks like candy. And you take it out of the, you take it and you hold it, and you unwrap it, and you get bit in the face. Sin is always like that. And these guys lead you into that. We become enslaved to it. Because you know, when you commit the first sin of whatever it is, you feel bad about it. And then you do it the second time and you feel bad about it. And then you do it the third time and you don't even feel bad about it. Our hearts become hardened. Listen to this. This passage of scripture that I'm about to read is almost illegal in the United States. It's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. But let's just look at it as adults and from the power of the Word of God. Paul said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." So church, stop right there. Is it possible to be deceived?
Yes.
Yes. In the areas of what? Fornication. You know what fornication is? Sexual immorality. Either one person's married and the other one is not, or they're both not married. Sexual activity. Idolaters, idol worshipers. You say, come on, we don't do that anymore. Nobody bows down to a statue. And you know what? They might have been weird back in those days when they bowed down to statues. We bow down to things much less. We dress ours up, whatever it may be. Money can be an idol. If you lose your money, have you just lost your identity? If you lose your money, have you just lost your hope? If you lose your money, are you still going to live? If you don't think so, that's an idol. Adulterers. The Bible says adulterers. This is married people breaking their vows, sleeping with other people. The Bible says you're not going. True, I'm a Christian. Yes, and I'm a Christian bank robber. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not pick and choosies. Now listen, it's real quiet in here because this is a very serious thing that is celebrated on TV. It's celebrated on the web. God says, you're not going. Don't get upset at me. He loves you enough to tell you. Homosexuality. God says, you're not going. So you can't say that. I didn't say it. Bible says it. Because God loves and God cares. My daughter, years ago, my daughter, little tiny thing, crawling on the carpet. I don't know why we were doing. For some reason, we set the iron down. We didn't think she was even around. And the iron was really shiny. You know the part, you know the iron. And it looked like a mirror on one end, the hot end. And she's making her way there, making her way there, and gets her lips right up on that, right up on that. Ah! She could see herself in it. She's crawling toward it. And you grab her and scoop her up. She started crying. What was she crying about? She was crying that we interrupted her moment and scooped her up because she wanted to look at the mirror. That was 500 degrees or whatever those things are. Think about that. You may be, and you may have been conditioned by a culture that has been, in my opinion, demonically energized to deceive. You think deception's only in the pulpit? Deception is everywhere. And deception tells you lies. And tries to convince people of one thing when God says, I've made you another way, follow me. Listen, some people are tempted in heterosexual manner way, which is probably the entire population. And then there's a fragment of our population that's tempted in heterosexual temptations. The Christian that struggles against the temptation of homosexuality, how are they supposed to fight it? The answer is exactly how the heterosexual Christian is supposed to fight the temptations about another man or another woman. You both fight. You don't give in. Why? Because it's like crawling to the iron. It's like, oh, that's going to be good for me. That's going to be good for me. And it'll kill you. Who says? God says. If you don't like what God says, look at the science. It'll kill you. And everybody's mad at God. Everybody's mad at a Christian. Everybody hates a pastor who says the truth. And the whole thing is in love. God has a better way. And he loves and he cares that there's a better way. He does that. Oh, I'm still reading the verse. Wow, I've got to go. I don't think I need to elaborate on sodomites. Yikes. Thieves. People who rip other people off. A person who covets other people's stuff. They just, oh, I got to have that. What? Whatever it is. Drunks. A person that is, their consciousness is obliterated. You say, well, Jack, give me some love in this. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it's very positive that the person who's a drunk is trying to drown their sorrows because they had a horrible life. But don't think for a moment that God doesn't reach out to people who are bound by alcohol. He doesn't write them off. He's constantly reaching out to them. Now, look, I'm going to be very honest with you. I never did drugs, and I remember in high school, for about 2 months, I got drunk a couple times, and it was the worst experience. I couldn't understand, why do people do this? It was just not good. So that's not my thing. Look, whatever spiritual DNA there is that some people battle with gambling, I don't have it. I don't understand it. I'm too cheap. I get money, I keep it. I'm not going to give it to some machine. I'm a tightwad. But I have my things that are my battle. I don't do them. I don't act on them. I don't perform them. I don't seek it. But because of my past, all Satan has to do is try to throw the switch in the kaleidoscope. Come on, guys. Help me out, man. Right, guys? You know, you could be angelic, and in the moment, Satan will take you back. And you got to fight it. Right? And you got to keep fighting it. You keep fighting. And that's true about any sin. There's no sinner that's a better sinner than the other. Well, I'm a better sinner than you. No, no. Very important. Let's do this. In 1 minute, let's get the fourth one down. Verses 20 to 22, they are those who are damned. They're damned. It says in verse 20, we see that they're damned because they've drifted from the truth. For if they, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world, that means they've known the truth, they've heard the way, they are knowledgeable of it through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they are again entangled. Wow, the word entangled comes from that first century Greek word, everybody. Circle the word in your Bible, entangled. You know what it means? It means it's the gladiatorial net. You ever watch I think it's The Gladiator with Russell Crowe. I think in one of those scenes, the gladiatorial net. Have you ever seen depictions where the gladiators are fighting on the arena and they're going for it, and the guy pulls out somewhere and he's got a net and he throws the net on the opponent. And this guy may have bigger swords and he may be more buff than the other guy, but the other guy's got the net. And when they throw the net, the big buff, super armed guy gets all caught up in the net and he can't do anything about it. That's the word here. Is that graphic? It's so graphic. To be ensnared. They are again ensnared. They once were ensnared. They got away from it, but they went back to it. And they're overcome. The Bible says the latter end is worse than the beginning. Why? Because you've sinned against the truth. You have walked out on your only hope. They drift from the truth. Verse 21 teaches us that they refuse the only way. They refuse the way. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way, that is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the dead, that he's the virgin-born Son of God, that he's the eternal Son of God. He came and he's coming back again, the gospel. 3 days, and he rose again. The way of righteousness, then having known it, it's better to have not known. To turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. My goodness, I have so many verses. You can get all these verses online of the notes today. Jesus warns us in Luke's gospel and other places regarding a person who rejects the gospel. It says that there's a demon that might be in their life. And they're living their life, and they begin to attempt to reform themselves. I'm going to become moral. The Bible says that if the demon wanders away from that guy, the demons will search for someone more or someone else to use, but while this guy is building up his morality. That when that devil or that demon comes back by and sees, Jesus said, when that devil sees the man's house having been swept clean and garnished, his soul, Jesus said that demon moves back in and brings 7 of his friends with him to live in such a man. What does that mean? It means that you start out one way, but you can try to reform yourself, but without Jesus Christ, boy, the end for you is worse than the beginning because you're vacant. On the inside. And the key is you don't want to be that way. That's Luke 11, 24 to 26. You can read that later. And then finally, we end in verse 22, that they become, this is tough, they become themselves again. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having been washed, a pig having been scrubbed up and lipstick put on and a bow and everything, she returns to the wallowing in the mire. Someone has asked, oh my goodness, this is horrific, because they asked Dr. H.E. Ironside, is this proof positive that a person can lose their salvation? Ironside says, it doesn't prove anything to that effect. It proves that once a pig, always a pig, once a dog, always a dog, unless you're transformed. that it is a dog who returns to his vomit, because that is the nature of a dog. It is the pig's nature to get all dressed up and get all moral. But because there's no internal change, the pig, first chance sees a mud hole, it's going to bolt for the mud hole. Why? Because it's a pig. Here's the amazing thing about God's salvation, is that God's salvation changes our nature. It is the greatest miracle on earth. It is the greatest miracle. I want to see a miracle, man. Hey, stick around. When people come to Christ and their lives are transformed, it's the greatest miracle of all. It's the greatest miracle of all. These people, they started out, doesn't matter how they looked, it doesn't matter how high that skyrocket went into the sky. Over time, they go back to being themselves. On the surface, they looked awesome. They had Christian shirts, their car had a Christian sticker, they used Christian words. They had gifts and talents that they shared among people. They had all of us duped. But then life hits. And I'm not making fun of this. Please understand this. I'm not making fun of this. It's a reality. When a virus comes, when there's no more work, when the company closes, everything they used to be comes out. God didn't cause COVID, but he's using it. Make sure that your faith is rooted and grounded, not in emotions, not in what somebody said. Bible, Bible. When you talk to others, you tell them, my Bible says, I mean, it's almost like pulling out garlic in front of a vampire. The Bible says, when you say, I say, my pastor says, Billy Graham says, there's no power in that. But when you say, the Bible says, you'll see people, their head will start spinning and their eyes will roll back. Then you got something there. The Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. Father, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Almighty God, for your truth. Yeah, this is combat faith stuff. And I know it's a Sunday morning, and I'm thinking maybe someone showed up and they want to be sent out with some hoorah thing and 7 steps to be happy. Well, I think, Lord, we need exactly what your word says. We need to be careful. We're not deceived, especially at an hour like this. May we be more hungry and more in the Bible than ever before. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter was well known for living on the wild side, radical, intentional, with a deep love for Christ and for his people. He was a born-again believer who wanted to show as many as he could the salvation that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's why we've devoted a special part of our website for this purpose. Just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab there labeled Know God, and the word know is spelled K-N-O-W. And once you're there, we'll guide you through what your commitment to Christ really involves, and of course a prayer to receive him as your personal Savior. We'll also give you some basic practices that'll help you grow closer to the Lord and help you share his love with others in your life. Again, it's called the Know God tab. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.